Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, tonight, part two of our conversation with our Open House human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, on givers and takers. What do you reckon you are? There are significant implications and important dynamics, both in relationships and work, if you're a giver or a taker. Lynn, welcome back.
Hi, Lee.
Great to see you, as always. Where are we heading this week, Lynn?
Okay, this week we're going to have a closer look at the givers and the takers and the matchers in ourselves and in others around us. And the work I'm drawing on is from Adam Grant, who's an organisational psychologist. And he's done some work in the area for about 10 years. And he's studied people in business and considered their giving and taking style.
Yeah, because as I said, it has important implications in business. It's worth recapping a bit from last week, so givers, takers and matchers.
Yes. Now, last week we could see that the givers succeeded in the long term and that they had a style that was to benefit others, and that is how they measured their worth of their effort. So it is worth their effort only if other people benefit. Matchers think that if it's work, it's worth their effort if there's an equal benefit for them in return.
Yes.
Now, takers see that they can get a bargain and they look for getting more than they pay for things, and they actively put the effort into finding connections that will benefit them.
I remember you mentioned that the givers are more successful in business, that had been kind of evident in a range of professions, medicine, engineering, sales.
Yeah. Now, that's right. Medicine, engineering and salespeople all had very similar success rates. And from the studies that Adam Grant did, he noted that the engineers, doctors and salespeople who were more successful were givers. And yeah, the way they gave was in the form of networking with others.
Okay.
And in fact, the medical students didn't do so well at the start. They actually were in the lower end of the class in the first year, and that was because they were busy giving away their ideas and sharing with others and taking care of people around them to their own detriment.
Yes.
And that was also the same for engineers and salespeople. They were actually less competitive to their own detriment to begin with.
Very interesting, isn't it?
Now, Adam Grant also noted that he could predict the successful people in the first year of their training by their giver style as opposed to their marks. So he'd actively look for those who were in the bottom end of the class and then consider them first.
How interesting.
Yeah.
So how does the giver develop into a successful person when they appear to be doing actually less well in the early stages?
Well, interestingly, Grant noted that there was demands of the work that determined their success, that it was the demands of the work that actually determined their success.
Okay.
In medicine, the second and the third years involved more collaborative learning, and certainly the following fourth, fifth and sixth years in medicine involved working in teams around patients, listening to patients and collaborating with them around their care and recovery. Now, Grant noted that the style of a giver is more orientated towards collaboration and teamwork. And when the givers were in teams, they were more at home and they were able to network and connect and be attuned to the needs of other people, thereby doing the appropriate treatment. So this is also evident with the engineers in their later years of training. That also involved collaboration and teamwork.
Okay. So the givers shine in teamwork, that establishes their success?
Yes, that's a part of it. But also when they're in a team, they genuinely consider others' needs first and give for that reason. Now, Adam Grant also noted that the takers and matchers had a different style as they developed. As they themselves achieved some success in business, they were more likely to ignore or even put other people down who weren't as successful as them.
Okay.
But as we mentioned last week, when the givers start to become successful, their success is usually shared with other people around them.
Of course.
And others also become successful with them.
Yep.
So there's no need to put anyone down or ignore them. However, we must realise that no one's perfect and that there are many influences that establish whether we stay as givers.
Okay.
As we mentioned last week, many people can be givers in their personal style, in their personal lives, but they become matchers and takers in business.
So that's quite understandable.
That's very understandable. Okay. But to be a true giver is to be a giver in all areas of your life, not just in your personal life.
Yes.
And for people to be successful in business, the giver style wins every time, particularly in the long term. But if you're trying to be a giver so that you can become successful, you're not going to be a true giver and therefore you won't be successful.
Which is hardly surprising as well. So what about if you're a giver and you're taken of advantage by a taker?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a challenge. And I've been thinking about that as I've been reading through all the research.
I know. Can I just say a lot to a lot of people, everyone, Lynn puts an amazing amount of work into this segment. So she's been slaving away on this. Lots of thinking. Is your head hurting?
Yes.
Yes.
So the challenge is when you're matched, a giver is matched with a taker. And from the studies that Adam Grant did, it was evident that it happened to many successful people. They'd had people who took advantage of their generosity, and they often lost. And in some cases, they'd become bankrupt because of the takers. Mm. However, there was a key response of the true givers. They didn't change their style when they started again. And when they did start again, they achieved success very quickly because they maintained the networks and the respect of the people around them.
Yes.
Others who'd benefited from their giving style before rallied around and helped them to establish again, and that meant they did better than when they first started.
So the givers did better after they'd gone bankrupt because they didn't change their giver style.
That's right.
Wow.
They maintained their style throughout, and that meant they gained even more respect and more people around them rallied around. Furthermore, when they negotiated with other people, they chose to go on and keep giving, and that meant they continued to gather people around them to help them. Now, Adam Grant noted in his case studies that people will go to meetings with others and guard their ideas and intellectual property. Everybody does that.
Understandably, yeah.
Yeah, just to protect themselves from being taken advantage of. So they don't put all their cards on the table and they hold back a little bit. And that's like a matching style. It's a self-protection where you wait to see if there's a reciprocal giving style from the other side.
Yes.
But the givers didn't do that. They thought entirely of the other person to see what they needed when they went to a meeting, and they sought to help them out. So, for example, if another colleague is looking for an idea on how to develop a product, the giver would give them their contacts, link them with others who they'd found helpful, and perhaps follow them up during the week with some ideas that they'd thought of themselves.
In some businesses, that might be seen as foolish,
mm-hmm,
or giving away too much.
Yeah, but the givers did that.
Yeah.
And those people at their very top is what they did. And I thought it was very inspiring because I thought if you'd just been taken advantage of previously, to continue to keep giving is something in itself.
Of course.
They continued to be vulnerable both in business and in themselves. And it's really like what we've talked about in the past, Lee, when we've said if you don't retaliate by shutting you don't retaliate by shutting down, but rather act as if the trauma or hurt hasn't actually affected you.
Yes.
That means you start to act in a much more proactive way.
Yep.
You continue in a way that would put you at risk of being hurt again.
Can I ask you this? How do the givers and takers influence the people around them differently?
Well, how they influence others is another aspect that's really different between takers and givers. Givers appear to be influential in a very different way. Takers influence others by becoming powerful. Takers gain dominance by exerting their power. And when we establish dominance, we gain influence because others see us as strong, powerful, and authoritative. This then gives people the impression that you're good at doing business and you can protect them when they need you because you've got all the power.
Yep.
It also means that people are attracted to you because you're powerful and because they too might actually gain some favor or some power as well. So takers specialize in powerful communication. Takers speak more forcefully and they often assert their authority. They've got dominant poses and body language.
Lynn, I've seen a few of those in my 40 years of journalism.
I'd imagine you would have.
Yeah.
But there's an interesting dynamic that Adam Grant talks about in his research. He gives the example of a communication style similar to a speech with an audience.
Okay.
He notes that when power is exerted in the presence of a skeptical audience, the more the audience starts to resist. The reason he said that happens is that when takers come across someone who's more dominant than them, they know that they'll lose power, so they'll withdraw.
Yeah,
so the takers in the audience will withdraw from them.
Yep.
When givers come across a dominant person, and the givers are in the audience, they see that they're not needed, so they withdraw from them and put their effort with people who might need them.
Wow, yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
And when there's matches in the audience, they come across a dominant person and strong person, they see that they might have to try too hard and to be as strong as them, and they won't be able to give as much as they've just been able to been shown. So they also withdraw.
So who's a loser?
Yeah.
All the way around.
That's right. So you see, the dominant style doesn't always work well. So people withdraw and it's limited in any influence. And you can see that all three styles withdraw from the dominant speaker. So that might be a reason why we have a tall poppy syndrome.
Which is very, very dominant in Australia. Mm-hmm. How do givers influence others then?
The alternative style is with the givers who operate with more of a powerless communication. Okay. They're less assertive, they show some doubt and ask others more than telling them. Because they value the perspective of others and they ask more, people around them feel valued. They openly admit their weaknesses and they express their own vulnerability in their public communication. Now, if this vulnerability is matched with some evidence of success, so a bit of success with humility and vulnerability, others gather around to support and identify with them.
Yes.
And they gain influence in the opposite way to the dominant style. The takers in the audience don't see the giver as a threat, but rather as someone to gain something from, so they become interested in them. The matchers in the audience see that they don't have to give too much in order to relate, so they engage with them.
Yep.
And the givers in the audience see that this powerless and vulnerable person could do with some help. So they tune in and they too engage with them.
Who's a winner?
Yeah.
All round.
So the givers become very influential because others respect and admire them and they earn some prestige when this comes with some evidence of success.
Yeah.
Now, Adam Grant gave the example of a very well-known barrister who won the support of the most sceptical jurors. He was extremely good with his closing remarks and had a particular characteristic that others would not have seen as a strength. He had a stutter.
Oh,
and
wow.
The stutter apparently gained the admiration of the jury. And most thought he was pretty brave to become a barrister, but above
yes.
all, they thought he must have been such a genuine person in order to expose his vulnerability in such a way. So the jury identified with his vulnerability.
I knew that. Just quickly before we finish, what does this mean for people with Christian faith, Lynn?
Look, in the Bible it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all things will be added. I think that speaks realms.
Yes.
But one of the stories that Jesus sent out 70 people in 2x2 to go out to various villages and towns, and he told them, don't pack anything, don't take anything with you. Go and be completely vulnerable and not powerful.
Yes.
He also says that in our weakness it's much more evident that God can work. So I think as a Christian, they're the things that I take from it.
I love your gems of insight. So briefly, next week, where are you taking us?
Going to have a little closer look at the givers and the takers and seeing how we ourselves can be starting to pick up our own taking and matching style.
Lynn Worsley, love your work. See you then.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.